Those who tell personal stories are brave souls. And that's especially important for tonight because when Pacifica's National Fund Drive was postponed to a later date, I had a few choices, one of which was for me to entertain you, and I wouldn't want to listen to me, so why should you, or identify a teller who could join me without much prep time. And my guess is definitely someone to whom you'll want to listen carefully. See, you've tuned into a perfect place this Thursday evening. So what's your story on KPFT 90.1 FM, the coolest place on your dial? Because we spotlight extraordinary tellers, both starters and stars, who share at least one thing in common. Each is an extraordinary person who engage us with stirring personal stories and treasured folktales by taking us on enchanted journeys and then returning us safely to the present. And it's a show that can only be enjoyed on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown. You know, exciting things can result from personal narratives. And when a teller owns the story, there's something to discover, to uncover for teller and listener alike. It's about the honesty found in telling not just a personal story, but a difficult one. These types of tellers ask listeners to fully enter the story only after they are prepared to enter it as well. And one of those tellers is seated next to me right now, Katie Galloway. And she's made a conscious decision about what her story is and is willing to come to terms with obstacles that might otherwise keep her from sharing her remarkable tale. Katie is going to be graduating from University of Houston downtown this May with a degree in interdisciplinary studies. That means you really don't know what you're doing. Isn't that right, Katie?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. You have no idea. I know. That's where the hours come. How do I get out of here as quickly as possible? Okay.
Exactly.
But she's got a special interest in psychology and business, and she hopes to be starting occupational therapy school in the fall. She's worked with kids at the Y day camp, as well as after-school programs, and she's observed the power that storytelling brings to healthy childhood. She's got a beautiful little girl, Austin, who is going to be the proud recipient of her mother's love of a good story. She is a student in our storytelling course and is in the best of hands with Jay Staley, who's been on So What Your Story several times, and he's going to be coming back in December. Katie, welcome.
I
know you're nervous, but you're doing great so far, right?
Thanks.
Because you haven't said anything. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I am so happy that you're here. I ambushed Katie on Tuesday at the Storytellers Guild meeting. I bribed her. I told her, if I gave you a fortune and a car, would you please come? Yeah, I lied. It's really a little Tonka tie.
I'll take it.
That's okay. Okay, good. Great. Katie, how old is Austin?
She is 19 months.
And what kind of stories do you tell her?
Well, she's the granddaughter of a librarian, so she's kind of a book fiend, but mostly we're into dinosaurs and baby dolls right now.
Isn't that fun, though? It really is fun. My grandson is just turned 2, and he loves books, and that is so cool. I wish his father liked books, you know. my son read a book when he was 8. I don't think he's read one since. I'm lying. He's better than that. But, you know, we sometimes think that kids don't read or they don't like books, and that's absolutely not true, right?
That's true. Not true.
They do. But you read to her every night?
Oh, we read, probably 20 to 30 books a day.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Good for you. You're a great mom and
Thanks.
A great person. This particular story that you're going to be sharing with us in just a few moments, Katie, is a product of an assignment that I thought was fascinating in Jay's class. And as I told you, it's a similar assignment to what I give my students. I give my students this hypothetical scenario as a prompt. I tell them, if you're home or your apartment is burning down and you know that everybody is safe, all the living people are safe, all the plants are safe, all your pets are safe, and you could grab one thing, what would that one thing be? I really want them to focus on that one significant object, not unlike the way we used to play show and tell. And this assignment prompted this story. Tell us a little bit about the nature of this assignment.
Well, Professor Staley came to us and said, I want you to think about a significant object in your life, and I want you to tell us the story of that object and how it's significant to you, which is a lot harder than you would think it would be.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and Jay is great at offering prompts, and these prompts are thought starters that we just don't ever realize could create great stories. First of all, tell us your significant object, and then let's hear your story. But what's the object first?
Okay, my object is the paper menu from the House of Pies.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, yep. And you folks are going to be amazed at this. Katie, share your story, please.
Okay. It was my 18th birthday, and all of my friends took me out to Chuy's Mexican Food Restaurant for the most delicious chicken fajitas. If you've never been there, shame on you. And we were so gorged, but of course, someone says, well, what are we having for dessert? Because no matter how much self-loathing is involved, you always have to have dessert. There's always space for that. So my best friend Greer says, oh, well, I have an idea, but you guys are just going to have to trust me on this one, which is always a bad idea. But we said, okay, we're 18, we're invincible, let's do it. So we go down Westheimer, and all of a sudden she says, okay, turn in here, it's House of Pies. And I turn in, and I was terrified. There was a homeless man on the sidewalk, and the building itself looked like it could just fall down at any moment when you open the door. And we thought, well, we'll trust her. So we walk in the front door, and I was hoping it would get better, and it just got worse. I felt like I had walked into a time warp. There were bacon and pancakes and fruit on the wallpaper, and the waitresses were dressed in these horrid maroon dresses with the hose and the grandma shoes and the smoker voices, and it just felt like I had stepped back in time to the 70s. And so I thought, oh, God, I'm going to die of food poisoning on my 18th birthday. This is so bad. And she said, just trust me. So we sit down, and there's this paper menu. And it has dozens of pies on it. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm so indecisive, and I have no idea which one to choose. But then I thought, well, you can't mess up apple pie. So I get the apple pie, and it's warm, and the ice cream is on the side. And I think, okay, here goes. And I took a bite, and I knew in that moment that my life had changed, that this was special. And so the next weekend, I said, I have got to bring my brother, who was 16 at the time, Austin, and my little sister, Julie, who was 11, to House of Pies so that they could experience this with me. So I throw them in the car, and we get there, and they have pretty much the same exact response to it that I did. And they were terrified, and I said, just trust me, just trust me. So they fell in love with it just like I did on that very first night. And over that summer before I left for college, I tried to take them there a couple times a month at least and just really build that bond with them and make sure that they knew that I was always going to be their big sister even though I was moving away and that they could always count on me. And also the people watching there is indescribable, but there's just nothing quite like being there at 1 o'clock in the morning and watching a cougar with mascara running down her face trying to hit on some poor Joe Schmo over fried eggs and the tweaker in the corner that you're not sure might shank you and just bonding with all the servers that have such interesting life stories. And so we just really grew together. And and when I would come home from school for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, that was the first place we went. I would pick up Austin and Julie, and we would go to House of Pies and catch up and just have a good time. And we always kind of had this unspoken rule that that was our special place. We never took our parents, which I think they would have put the kibosh on it if they had seen it. And we never took friends. It was just the three of us. And so when Austin came to me one day and said, hey, I'd really like to bring my girlfriend, Catherine, he didn't admit it, but I knew that must mean she was special. And so I said, okay, sure, why not? And over that night at House of Pies, I knew that she was so important to him and that she was perfect for my baby brother. And so from then on, she was kind of in the gang, and when she could, she would come. And so then about 2 years later, I was at school in Dallas, And I was raped, and I was in the hospital for a couple of days, and I thought I could hack it at school, but I was having panic attacks, and I couldn't leave my apartment, and so I knew that I had to move home. And I asked my parents, please don't tell Austin and Julie, I want to tell them myself. And at the time, they were 18 and 14, and I knew that they could handle the truth, but I needed it to come from me. And so I got home and I said, hey guys, we're going to House of Pies. And we got in the car and I didn't say anything about it until we got there. And when we sat down and we ordered our pie, and I just told them everything, and they were crying and I was crying, and we got our pie for free. And we just, in that moment, I realized that House of Pies was no longer just a special place for us, that it was a safe place, that it felt like coming home, that it felt like going to Grandma's house. It was just warm and special. And I moved home, and about 6 months after I moved home, my brother got very, very sick. He was born with cystic fibrosis. He was diagnosed with it as a baby, and that's a lung disease that has no cure, and the prognosis is not good. And he was in the hospital for about 3 months, and while he was in the hospital, I would take him House of Pies, and I would spend the night at the hospital to give my stepmom a break to get home, but also just to have fun and hope that he could feel like he wasn't in the hospital. And the nurses hated when I went there because we were so loud and always up to no good. And then finally we got the phone call one day that he was going to get a set of lungs and they were going to be perfect for him. And so we got the surgery, went through it with flying colors, and about a week later they sent him home. And of course, the first place we went was House of Pies. We packed up Catherine, and I packed up Julie and Austin, and we all went to House of Pies, and he got his Bayou Goo, which is gross, but that's his favorite, and we just had so much fun, and that night was perfect. It was perfect. And 3 years later, almost to the day, my brother got very, very sick again, and unfortunately, with lung transplants in particular, the immunosuppressive drugs really make it difficult to stay healthy for very long. And so he was sick again he was in the hospital for about a month. And one Sunday he called me and he said, "Katie, I really want House of Pies, and can you just come hang out?" And, you know, I was older by then and I had a full-time job. I was a restaurant manager working a million hours a week. And I just said, "Austin, you're gonna have to get over yourself. Stop being such a baby. I have work in the morning." And I hung up with him, and the next morning I got a call saying that he had taken a turn for the worse overnight. My dad told me that he was now too sick to get a transplant, which unfortunately is a very narrow line to walk. You have to be sick enough to need a new organ, but if you're too sick, they don't think you'll survive the surgery, and so they won't do it. And at that point, we knew that it was just a matter of time. And he was no longer lucid. They had amped up the pain medication so that he wasn't in pain. And so then on Thursday morning, my brother passed away. And the last thing I ever said to him was, "Stop being such a baby." And so that night, I packed up Catherine and Julie, and we went to House of Pies. And we cried, and we ate Bayou Goo, even though he was the only one that liked it. And we just remembered Austin. And I took one of those ugly 70s-tastic paper menus, and I took it home, and I wrote a note to my baby brother, and I said all of my hopes and dreams, and I tried to come up with a plan on how I would fill that void of him and our family. And I folded it up, and I put it in his casket, and I buried it with him. And 3 months after my brother passed away, I found out I was pregnant with the baby that I was told I couldn't have because of complications from the rape. And in that moment, I knew that this miracle was my brother's miracle, that this baby was my very own Austin. And now I look forward to the day when I can have a special place, my own House of Pies, with my very own little Austin.
That was an extraordinary story, and I always introduce this show by talking about the one thing that tellers have in common, and that is that they are extraordinary people. And you know that you're an extraordinary person, and you are an amazing person, a very special person. And I know that I speak for every person who is fortunate enough to listen to that story, that I thank you. The kind of emotional shifts that story offered. I mean, the story was so multidimensional, the kind of details and the kind of sequencing and everything that you had in there were so remarkably vivid. And, you know, we talk frequently about using as a gauge of a good story whether or not the speaker, the teller, can paint a verbal picture. And you painted so many of them. That took so much courage.
Thank you.
How do you want listeners to feel after hearing that story, Katie? How, How do you want them to feel? How do you want us to feel?
I hope that everyone listening feels love and acceptance and courage, and I hope that they're also craving a really good slice of pie.
Hey, they have great pie. They have great pie.
That they do.
But you've really only enjoyed the apple, though, right? That's pretty simple. You like the apple pie?
I've tried a lot of others, but the pippin apple with a la mode on the side, that's the way to go.
Yeah, well, you can't beat the cream pies. I'm into cream pies. Because the kind of things that clog your arteries the fastest are typically my favorite. They really are.
Katie Galloway
on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston and 90.3 in Livingston. This is Hank Hrubacek with sidekick Roxy Russell. Roxy, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm now wanting pie. Really bad.
I was watching you listen to Katie. A pretty remarkable story.
Incredibly. And talk about shifts. Because what I loved about your story, it started out so wonderful. And like Hank said, it was so vivid.
Yeah.
And then there goes the shift, and it just really proved how meaningful your story is.
Yeah, the story really does unfold. Mm-hmm. It, there's a difference between a story unfolding and it being recreated. You tell the story as if you're thinking about it right now, and you're using the words that come to your mind right now. And, you know, words are symbols. They're arbitrary. They don't mean anything until a teller does something with them, and what you do with those words, the emphasis, the intonation, the concentration is truly, truly remarkable. I'm curious, we were talking about the assignment that was really the creator of this wonderful, wonderful story in many ways. What were some of the other significant objects that were used by your class members for their narratives?
Well, we have quite the interesting crew, and it was a wide variety. Some people brought medals from high school, and someone brought a baby book. And my personal favorite, who I'm hoping will come on the show at some point, was a story about a pencil.
A pencil.
A pencil. Yeah. And it was awesome.
Give us a sneak preview. What did this particular student say?
The pencil had to do with a family member. And it's a hilarious, great tale, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to get some of your buddies on, yeah.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, some of those students in that class honestly rule. We have, I've managed to harness a few of those students in my class getting on the show, and they're so hard to beat. Now, this is a hard question, it is, and I want to apologize in advance for asking it, but it's the kind of question that seems to be associated with this kind of a difficult story, and that is, what finally gave you permission, Katie, to tell this story? Because there has to be a moment. Or it had to be a moment where you say, this is so difficult, but I have to tell it. I have to say it. When was that moment? When did you give yourself permission?
I think for me, it was about coming to terms with my last conversation that I had with Austin.
Yeah.
And knowing that he knows that I love him and that I had so many cherished and beautiful memories with him that can not be undone by one cranky phone call. And knowing that if my story can help someone else gain acceptance of that, then it's worth it for me to open it up.
Yeah, the whole idea of gaining acceptance. What a beautiful thought. You own your story. You really turned it into a message about faith and about hope and consummate love in so many ways. I asked you early if your parents know that you're on the show, right? what do they say to you?
Oh, goodness. They are extremely supportive. I think my dad hired a skywriter for today. So
he has to be proud.
Yes. If we have any call-ins, it'll probably
him. But they know that you're telling this story.
Mm-hmm,
and they have to be proud of you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
What did they say to you, though?
In particular, I think for me, my stepmom, who was Austin's mom,
mm-hmm.
having her okay with me telling this was really important. And I feel like I didn't want to air anything that would hurt her.
Right.
And so knowing that she is excited about this and supportive of it, I think is the most important thing for me.
What beautiful, that mutual exchange. That and the idea of getting her permission, too, is a beautiful thought. Beautiful thought. You know, stories send the message, I matter, I'm important. And Roxy is important, too. We better get to her, because it's time for Tip for the Teller, which is a segment when we learn something about storytelling from a question asked by one of our listeners. So what's cooking tonight, Roxy?
It's tense. It's about tense. Wendy from Houston writes, Hank, your show is the best. The best.
I paid her to say that, too. I meant a bribery.
And what Wendy wants is saying is that she loves when you talk about your story features and would like to know about conflict and tension. Are they the same?
Hi, Wendy, and thank you for writing in. Yeah, talking about story features really is important. We know that stories have plots, they have protagonists, they have a tone, a prologue, and all of those have to work intertwined. They have to be inextricably related in order for a story to come to life. Great question. Conflict. Well, conflict, you know, some people view conflict and tension as somewhat synonymous, but conflict occurs when there's two opposing forces that clash, and whether conflict is internal, which means you have the conflict within yourself, the protagonist, the main character, within him or herself, or external, which means with another entity, it tends to create tension. So as I see it, tension really is the product of conflict. You know, say, for example, you and Aunt Betsy clash. You don't like each other, right? There's something going on, who knows why. And that's external conflict. But when you're both seated at the Thanksgiving table, you feel the tension. And then the plot thickens. Get it? Hope that makes some sense. But it's a quick explanation, but I really hope it does make sense, because that's a great question. We've been getting some wonderful questions. Pretty thought-provoking. It's certainly testing me. Thank you, Wendy, and we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving without the tension, right? Roxy, tell us what we have to do if we got some questions.
Well, if you have any questions for us, it's easy. You just need to send them your questions and story ideas. We love those. To ruby.story@gmail.com. That is ruby.story@gmail.com, and we will get back to you. And don't you dare forget your 2 to 3 minute holiday stories during our call in on December 19th and 26th.
Roxy, you have a Thanksgiving show coming up next week, right?
I do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm bringing back a guest who I love, who has a great nursery rhyme or backstory to her nursery rhyme.
Right.
Alan Gardner Atkinson is coming back, and I absolutely love the story that he tells. It's very creative, very vivid, and
Alan writes his own stories. People, you're not going to want to miss this. Now, this is going to be a pre-recorded show. We've never done one before.
Yes.
Because this is live. We're
all
talking
the time.
L-I-V-E. We're talking real stuff. We're talking real people.
Mm-hmm.
Ow! I just pinched myself. We are so real. It's just not to be believed. But this is a pre-recorded show, and Roxy's going to do it. And we're really excited about it, because we want you to enjoy your Thanksgiving, but we do not want you to forget to tune into So What's Your Story.
Absolutely.
Watch your football, but everything will be over by then. You better tune in, and Roxy's got a great show for us. Roxy, we're looking forward to the calls, call-in shows. Those are going to be great. December 19th and 26th, and Roxy's going to remind all of us on Facebook. And you are listening to Storyteller Katie Galloway and me, Dr. Hank, on So What's Your Story, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Another great tip for every story lover in Houston is to make time for a Houston Storytellers Guild monthly story swap. We meet on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Andrew's House, which is at 1811 Heights Boulevard. Katie, you came. Now, be nice. Be nice. Tell us. We're a little nuts, but tell us what you thought about that meeting. Seriously.
Oh, it was just amazing. Number one, it was a great ego boost as someone who's new to this, but also just such interesting group of people, and everybody has such an interesting story to tell.
Yeah, and we're very supportive. We want people to know that you don't have to be a great storyteller. Look at me, right? I'm in the group. But you don't have... Well, you don't. Okay. You don't have to be a great storyteller at all to be in the group. You have to love stories, and you have to want to learn to tell stories, but we're very supportive. As a matter of fact, and this is important, whenever somebody tells a story and you experience this, the first question that I ask as I lead discussion is, what did we like about the story? And that's the truth, because there's always something to like about the story. And we want people who joined the Houston Storytellers Guild to know that that's the route we take. So don't ever be intimidated and just Come because you're going to love it. It's a great venue, too. Beautiful old Victorian. And if you're looking for more fun than the law allows, get the Telebration. This is a wild story time program sponsored by the Guild, and it's being held this Saturday, November 23rd, at the Black Lab, a great CUSIN institution. It's at 4100 Montrose. We're going to be meeting from 6 to 9 p.m. 6 o'clock, we'll be eating. And the tellers, who are great, we've got a great cast of Texas tellers, are going to be on at around 7:30 to 9 o'clock. I think we have six of them, and you're going to enjoy it. Check out our site at www.HoustonStorytellers.org for all the details about Telebration and about all the other fun happenings. You know, at the meeting, you said that storytelling changed your life. In about 30 seconds, and this is a tough question, too, but what is it about stories that you think promotes positive change, Katie?
I think it's the rawness. It's raw to tell, it's raw to hear, and it's kind of like going to church. You get out of it so much, and it's everybody gets something different out of it, and I think that's why it's so powerful.
Yeah. You know, to tell a personal story requires so much character and courage, and for such stories, it really does test the boundaries of the human heart. Katie Galloway, you proved that point tonight, and there are really no words that I can harness that will sufficiently thank you for your presence and your absolute class and style. I know I speak for Roxy, too. You were just absolutely terrific tonight. You've really enriched our lives. A happy Thanksgiving to you and to Austin, your family.
Thank you.
And now we have to work on getting your classmates on the show.
Right? We're going to
absolutely
<I'll try.
laughs> do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. To all of our listeners, if you keep loving a great story, I'm going to keep bringing them to you. This is Hank Rubicek with Roxy Russell on So What's Your Story, one of the Power Hour programs on this Thursday night on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Make KPFT a part of every day and make it a habit to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. Even go to happy hour first if you absolutely must, right? We've all been to happy hour.
Who doesn't love happy hour? It's so happy.
I mean, look, I don't think there's any of us that's sober. Roxy, no, you never come in. No, absolutely. Sure. So you better stay where you are, everybody out there. Stay where you are because Scooter is next with the Inner Side. Wishing you the warmest Thanksgiving and collect those stories, please. Don't forget our call-ins. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank Rubicek, always reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Good night.